Cavalcade of Kings. James the First, Part Two. The gunpowder plot, designed by Robert Catesby for the destruction of the King and his Parliament, was enthusiastically supported by Guy Fawkes, Thomas Winters, and Thomas Percy. It is now February 1605, and the dreadful plot is rapidly approaching its awful climax. At the moment, we find Catesby and his fellow conspirators at a house in Westminster, the wall of which joins that of Parliament House.
My friends, before we start our work of tunneling beneath that cursed wall whose thickness separates us from our goal, I would discuss an important matter with you.
Speak on, good sir, but be brief, I pray you.
As you will, Guy. In a word, our secret is no longer our property.
What's that, Margaret?
There's no need for alarm. Our activities are known only to those who wish us well and who would join us in our work.
I like not the thought, Catesby. If too many have the keeping of a secret, it is a secret no longer.
The condition is forced upon us, Guy.
By whom?
My own servant, Thomas Bates, who has grown suspicious of our activities in the cellar of this house. He confronted me, humbly enough, God knows, and hinted that he, too, was strong enough to use a spade for the cause of liberty and religion.
He knows of a certainty what we are about.
He knows, Winters.
He must be silenced forever.
Wait, Guy. The man is possessed of a bitterness against the king which surpasses our own.
It is also said that he suffered torments for his religion in Elizabeth's reign. So it would seem he has an axe to grind. I'd suggest giving him the chance to avenge himself.
Aye. Maybe you're right, Winters. God knows we have need of another pair of hands to help us. The further we tunnel beneath this cursed ball, the harder grows our task. Faith, I don't think we'll ever break through the perishing rock.
Then it is agreed that we swear Bates to secrecy and put him to work?
Aye.
And now there are others besides Bates who seem to know our design. There's John Grant and Robert Winters.
Robert? My brother? In God's name, how did he find out? Not from me, I'll swear.
Since they know so much, it would be safer to have them with us. Having participated in the undertaking, they will not dare to betray it.
Are there any others, Catesby?
If faith, yes. Sir Edward Bainham, Sir Everard Digby, Ambrose Rookwood, and Francis Tresham.
Tresham. His brother-in-law, Lord Mounteagle, will sit in the house on the day we have chosen for its destruction. Think you Tresham will stand by and see his kinsman blown to pieces without a qualm? Remember, Catesby, we are none of us cold-blooded assassins, but men who seek to right the wrongs of the people.
I think Tresham is to be trusted. I myself would blow up my own son in such a cause as ours. As for the others, they are thirst for revenge for the many wrongs inflicted upon them by the king and his parliament is insatiable.
So be it. They shall be sworn to secrecy. But if any one of them betray us, and let him beware.
Will they take a turn with us in our dismal work underground?
Nay, good Winters. It is well not to put all our eggs into the one basket.
Then how will they assist us?
With money, horses, food, and necessary supplies. Also a ship in which to make our escape to Flanders when our object has been accomplished.
Is well. And now let us go to our work. The night grows old, and we have not turned this spade over. Pick up your lanterns, friends, and follow me.
You are certain all doors and windows are securely fastened?
With my own hand, I attended to them.
Lead on, then, Guy.
Oh, it is perishing cold in the stone passage. I shiver.
Soon you shall sweat with the vigor of your toil. Here's the door to the cellar. You have the key, Guy?
A moment, till I extract it from my boot. There. It's done. Enter.
noisome cellars like a grave. It makes me shudder. Oh, perchance, 'tis the fearful secret I carry in my breast. God never intended me for an assassin. Would that there were some other way in out to our hands than the wholesale murders which lie before us.
Alas, there is no other way.
More wild fancies, Winters.
I'll swear I heard the great bell tolling deep down in the earth under Parliament House. I'm afraid. Afraid, I tell you. I can't go on. I can't.
Our conscience makes cowards of us all, Winters. But it's too late now for you to retire from the work alive. Is my meaning clear?
Yes, Fox. It's clear. I'll go on. Give me my spade. I must work. I must do something to keep myself from thinking of those broken bodies, which will be found when Guy Fawkes has fired the 36 barrels of gunpowder, which will be stored beneath the House of Lords.
But the terrible plot was never to ripen to maturity. It was exposed by Francis Tresham in order to save the life of his brother-in-law, Lord Mount Eagle. Thus, the most devilish plot in history was frustrated. Later, King James, who needed money very badly, decided to send Charles, his son, to Spain to woo the Infanta. At the moment, we find His Majesty with the Duke of Buckingham and Prince Charles. They're discussing the prospective Spanish alliance.
Charles, my son, your marriage with the Infanta of Spain would put an end to many of my worries.
Especially your financial worries. Is that not so, sir?
Faith, yes, Buckingham.
Oh, but father, you'll mean I shall be obliged to visit Madrid to make love to the Infanta.
And what more romantic spot could be chosen than Madrid? In truth, I envy thee thy visit to this lover's paradise.
Is aught amiss with the Infanta that makes her brother so anxious to be rid of her?
Nay, son, she's as beautiful as a dove.
She may have the disposition of a shrew.
A sound whipping or two after marriage will soon cure her, my son. But what matters if she were as ugly as Dodo the dwarf, or as sour as a lime? The vast fortune which she will bring to England would make her beautiful and angelic in my eyes.
As you will, then, father.
If your decision pleases me mightily, young Charles, although 'twould seem I shall be unutterably wretched and my court as dull as ditch water without my dear Buckingham.
It will not be for long, sire. As soon as we arrange the alliance, we shall return hot foot to England.
Then the sooner you set off, the sooner will you return.
We sail with the tide tomorrow, sire. Come, young prince, we have much to do in readiness for our journey.
My brother, you say the English prince is expected to arrive in Madrid today?
That is so, sister.
He but wasted time, for I shall never marry him.
No, it is a most desirable alliance, sister.
Desirable? You, a strict adherent to the Catholic faith, to call an alliance between your sister and this Protestant prince desirable? Has forgotten the diabolical tyranny of his father, which has made the lives of all who follow the Catholic faith in England a hell on earth?
Oh, it is because of these unfortunate people that I favor the alliance, my sister. For I intend to make it a condition that if a marriage between you and Prince Charles is arranged, his father must sign a treaty permitting all Roman Catholics in England to exercise their religion freely.
There she is, Buckingham. Faith, her beauty rivals that of the flowers in her garden. Were it not for this cursed wall which separates us, I'd have her in my arms in a trice.
No wall would stand between me and my pleasure, young Charles.
Nor mine. An agile leap will carry me to her side. I'll do it.
This is an outrage. What seek you here?
A kiss from your soft red lips, my beautiful darling.
Your impertinence matches your audacity. Who are you?
Your future husband, Charles of England.
My future husband? You take much for granted, sir. I have not said I would marry you.
Nay, but you will.
It would become you to remember, sir, that you address the Infanta of Spain, not some wanton serving wench.
You are a very haughty maiden, a condition which does not please a prince of England.
A prince who outrages our ancient customs, which forbids a man to thrust his unwanted presence upon a maid, alone and unchaperoned by your duenna. Truly, sir, your uncouthness shocks and amazes me. I like it not. Nor do I like the monstrous ego and colossal conceit which puffed out your chest like some game rooster. And I would not marry you. No, not for all the gold in the Indies.
In a rage, Charles returned to England and forced his father into a war with Spain. But before much could be done, James fell ill. It is now the 27th of March, 1625. James is dying. Buckingham is at his bedside.
Buckingham, if only a man could look into a silver mirror and see the future that fate has designed for him.
Perhaps it is as well such a thing is denied us, sir. I fear me it would make cowards of us all.
None could have been more cowardly than I, Buckingham. I am 59. I have reigned 22 years, and not one good deed do I leave behind me to be remembered. My court has been a hotbed of vice and corruption, where no man could keep his honor and still retain my friendship. Lord Bacon, that able philosopher and wise judge, became a public spectacle of dishonesty. Raleigh fell a victim to my vicious spite. And all those others who have fallen from grace have fallen through their association with me. Truly, James the First of England has been a plague which has infected all who came in contact with him.